It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger, brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All righty, good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. Thank you so much for joining me. Hopefully your day is going well. We have a lovely, lovely day in our area. The day before kids go back to school in this area. Altoona kids go back tomorrow. I think Hollidaysburg goes back tomorrow. I think Bellwood maybe. So the last day of summer for you as a parent, last day of summer with your kids at home or wherever they are, last day of summer for the kids. I'll tell you, 946-0435, if you want to reminisce or go down memory lane here, what was life like for you as a kid during the summer break? How much did you enjoy the summer break? There's different ways to look at school. When you're a kid, a lot of kids love school. I actually hated school. I did great at school my whole life. I made A's my whole, but I hated it. I hated being there. I always wanted to be at home having fun doing something else. So school was something I tolerated, but absolutely thoroughly loved summer vacation breaks, anything like that. So then as you get older, when you have kids, you kind of just want your kids in school. You know what I'm saying? You want your kids. It's easier for your life if you're a working parent, if the kids are in school. And so I remember this started, I'm 50. I remember this discussion started when I was in school, people saying, maybe kids should go to school all year round. To hell with that. Those people are evil. Those people are, if you know or are in favor of going to school all year round, I'm convinced you're an evil person. You're literally an evil person. Kids need to have fun. They need to have breaks. They need to be able to enjoy life. But I do get it for working parents when your kids are at home during the summer, and especially economically, it can be very difficult. I get all that. I get that that's an issue. Oh, man, get me started here on school. I want to talk some Steelers today. Steelers are in a lot of trouble, but I tried to enjoy the last day of summer with my kids. We did some stuff. We got another baseball practice later on, and I think we're going to go out to dinner. But just trying to enjoy the last day of summer. And I do want to bring this up since I'm on the subject. I saw this post yesterday on Facebook. Now, again, we're going to talk some sports, but I think everybody can relate to what I'm about to say. It's about homework, okay? And this is a little bit of a controversial subject. So if there's any teachers out there that want to chime in on this, agree or disagree. Look, teachers have it very difficult. Teachers are the most important people in our society who are paid such awful, awful wages. I was telling my kid yesterday, every time one of these baseball players, pitchers takes the mound, Shohei Ohtani, well, he's not pitching this year, one of these guys takes them, they make $1 million per start, some of these guys, Garrett Cole, those guys. Like $1 million every time they take the mound. In my entire working life, I will make just a little bit more than $1 million. I don't think I'm at $1 million yet in my entire working life. I'll surpass $1 million if I can work another 10 years and get over that. But these pitchers make $1 million every start. So believe me, I have respect for teachers and what they do and the way they spend their time. But here's this Facebook post I ran into yesterday. You have 8 hours to teach my kids. If you can't fit it in, do it tomorrow. We get 4 hours with our kids after school to bedtime. I'm not wasting it on homework. Life skills and family time matter just as much. All right? How many of you agree with that? Because I think that is absolutely 1,000,000,000% spot on. If you're an adult and you work, this is my take on homework. If you're an adult and you have a job that you go to from 9 to 5, and then you have to bring home work to work on it at home, hell no. You're not putting up with that. You're going to demand to get paid. Now, look, if you're a salaried employee, and I realize that is the case for a lot of people, but still, you're going to gripe about it. You don't want to get off work at 5 o'clock and go home and do more work that you're not getting paid for. I am a huge believer, and again, I'll have this debate with anybody. If you agree with me or disagree, you could strongly disagree with me here. But homework is bullcrap. Let me read this post again. No, I didn't post this. You have 8 hours to teach my kids. If you can't fit it in, do it tomorrow. We get 4 hours with our kids after school to bedtime. I'm not wasting it on homework. Like I said, I'm absolutely on board with that. This notion that, I mean, to me, I'm dead serious here. Kids are indentured servants in this country. They have to go to school, and then for them to succeed in school, they have to do all this extra work outside of school and homework. No. My family, my kids are involved in all kinds of activities after school. We ain't got time. Oh, I'm going to play Cardale Jones, former Ohio State. I ain't come here to study school or to play school. Now, I'm a 1,000,000% serious on that. The whole notion of homework. If you can't get it done at school, then do it tomorrow. After school is time for families and kids to focus on other things in life. Let me make a sports comparison here. So, every professional athlete will tell you that kids should play multiple sports, okay? Every professional athlete, a baseball player will tell you kids should play other sports when they're growing up. You don't want to just play baseball 12 months out of the year. It's not healthy. Football players will tell you that when they were young, they played baseball or basketball or track or soccer or whatever else. Kids should play other things. But you know why? Because the single sport that they're focusing on is not the most important thing in the world. It's not. And I learned this later in life, okay? Here's the crux of what I'm saying. School is not the most important thing in the world. Your grades in school are not the most important thing in the world. Having a well-rounded life and friends and family and activities and social skills, and being able to talk to people, and yes, even video games, which help with your problem solving and your ability to have hand-eye coordination. Video games play a big role in those kinds of things. I'm a big believer that school is an important part of life. But in a lot of ways, when it's crammed down a kid's throat that success in school is like the ultimate goal, that's wrong. I'm a complete believer that that's wrong. You can be a highly successful person in life if you make B's or, oh my God, even C's in school. Now, I never made a C in school. I made straight A's. My high school, look, I was a pretty brilliant kid. I graduated 320 kids. I graduated 8th in my high school class. I was never going to make anything less than an A. I put every ounce of effort into because I was a competitor. I wanted to compete. I thought that the grade meant everything. You know how many employers have ever asked me what my GPA was in high school or college? Zero. But people skills, communication skills, real world experience. Again, my point with all this is kids are going back to school tomorrow. Let them still be kids. And my wife and I don't always even agree on these kinds of things because she places all this emphasis on homework, and homework is clearly important. But my kids' baseball practice tonight is more important than homework, period. End of discussion. And it ain't close. It's like 1,000 times more important. The soccer practice that he's going to attend on Friday is more important than homework. Now, I want my kids to have good grades. And grades are important. But I think we've been sold a bill of goods in our society that all these teachers heap all this attention on grades. You got to get grades this so you can get into a good college. Why? So you can get into a good college and graduate with $100,000 in debt? Our entire society is completely and totally bankrupt when it comes to the amount of emphasis we place on grades and school. I'm not talking about learning here, people. I'm not talking about learning. Learn all you can. What I'm telling you is you can only learn so much in school that will help your real life. Your real life is dependent on how you get along with people in your neighborhood, your family, your friends, your sports team, the band, your chess club, math club, whatever the heck else it is you do. So let me read the post here because this kind of set me off yesterday. You have 8 hours to teach my kids. If you can't fit it in, do it tomorrow. We get 4 hours with our kids after school to bedtime. I'm not wasting it on homework. So, hey, do with that what you will. Maybe you completely disagree with me there, but I truly have learned later on in life how less significant, I'm not saying insignificant, but how less significant school and grades are. You know why school and grades are important to the people at the schools? Because they need your funding. They need their kids to do well on standardized tests so that the school districts can get the federal funding and not be considered like way behind. Teachers need to be able to keep their jobs. All that depends on grades and everything. At the end of the day, though, your kids, whether they make an A or a B in eighth grade science, doesn't mean jack crap. It doesn't mean jack crap. Oh, but that's the difference between them getting into this college versus that college. Well, yeah, the difference between them getting into this college versus that college might be $75,000, too, that they're going to be burdened with that debt for the next 40 years of their life. See what I'm getting at? All right. That's my... Again, I tried to weave some sports into there, like how athletes will tell you can't just play one sport. Parents, teachers, school officials should not, I believe, should not harp as much as they do on school being the be-all, end-all of your whole damn existence. All right. Clarkster, you're an old guy. You think I'm just an old guy yelling at the clouds here or what?
No, I think you must have interesting discussions when the kids aren't around with your wife regarding the subject matter that you just did.
You've listened to me long enough to, and you should probably, everybody who knows me knows it. This is how I talk to my wife. I'm not putting on some act here. This is why my wife is a saint. We've been married 20 years. The way I talk on this show is truly 100% who I am in all aspects of my life.
Right, but I mean, you must be at odds in terms of what you're espousing and what she may be espousing. I don't know what subject she teaches, and they don't have them. They have them for 8 hours, but probably only 5 of those 8 hours are in teaching subjects.
Sure.
Okay. And we've also dumbed down in a lot of cases, and in a lot of areas, it's become babysitting. And that didn't do anybody any good, did it?
Sure. And hey, look, the certain school districts are a lot better off than other school districts. In a lot of school districts, there is just a ton of babysitting going on, kids from all kinds of different backgrounds. My point is this. When the kids get home from school at 3 o'clock and they've got to go to bed at 8, 8:30 because they catch the bus at 7 o'clock in the morning, for God's sake, which is insane.
Well, wait a minute. They're going to bed at 8:30.
A lot of kids are going to have to if you're catching the bus. If you got to get up at 6:30 to catch the bus at 7 o'clock in the morning. Now my kids go to bed at like 9:15, but I know of other families that kids go to bed at 8:30.
Anyway, but you also just dumbed down what you said about underpaying teachers.
Oh, absolutely.
Saying it doesn't matter, what they're teaching, what they're doing. So why? would you make a case for them?
It does matter. No, it does matter what they're doing. I'm telling you that they shouldn't be sending work home to the kids, that they have to do it for another hour or two.
Oh, my God. For God, you know.
That's what I'm telling you.
Buckle up.
That's what I'm telling you. They're in school for 7.5 hours a day. That's plenty of time for them to do. After school, the activities that those kids are doing after school is every bit as important as that math homework, I promise you. Because again, this is the bill of goods we've been sold in this country. It's been preached forever. You've got to get this grade because you've got to get into a good college to make something of your life. That is complete and total nonsense. I know dozens and dozens and dozens of people with college degrees who don't really make much money, and their degrees ended up with just putting them in massive debt.
Well, they made bad choices, and we can't correct choices. They have to think about what they're doing.
That is true. And hey, look, I've said this before. I've worked alongside a lot of kids at Penn State that are journalism majors. Those kids are complete and total morons. If you're a journalism major in 2024, you're a moron. You're going to spend $150,000 to get a degree in a field that is dead.
But they channeled themselves into one thing.
Sure.
That's what you can't do.
I'm going to major in 17th century art history. There's one job in the world I can get with that damn degree.
Other than outside of the teaching profession, maybe.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
But the point of it is, you have to roll with the punches. It's the same thing when a guy goes up to bat and he tries to hit home run all the time. Maybe if you looked at your options. You also talk about the athlete. Look at what the athletes have done. Did you ever hear that back in the, well, at least I wouldn't say I did heard this, 50s, 60s, maybe 70s? All these kids going to these specialized sports academies and different things.
Yep.
And translates into going to certain schools and different things like that. You know, you sound like it would be a good candidate for homeschooling.
We had to do that during COVID. That's death. Any parents out there that had to teach their kids at home during COVID, oh my God, it was just a constant argument, nonstop all day long.
They didn't have laptops to work on and different things.
My kids were only in second grade, so wasn't really the case. Just to get them to listen, though. Oh my God.
Well,
all right.
It's developing the discipline about doing certain things. And the discipline can be used in any number of ways, shapes, or forms.
Right, but the school districts, this is the fundamental difference that we're talking about here. The school districts, yes, they want you to succeed. They want kids to succeed. I do truly believe that.
Yes.
But the school districts need kids to succeed, because that impacts their bottom line as a business entity with regards to funding.
Sure.
So therein lies the issue. If the only thing in the world that mattered, if every school district just all got the same amount of money and the only thing that mattered was little Johnny's grade on the math test, that's one thing. But what has happened that is really bastardized our public school system in this country is that schools are dependent on kids' performance on these standardized tests. That's what the schools care about, because that impacts their money, their funding, their jobs.
The funding can go either way. It may show that they need more funding as opposed to achieving the goal.
Yeah. You know? All right. I'm going to let that go. I didn't mean to get this that far, but hey, these are good discussions, man. These are good discussions. I told you before, I'm going to come in here and we'll talk some sports, but we got something else better to talk about. Hey, Dan, what's up, buddy?
Well, you're ready for a hard break, aren't you?
No, I'm good. I'm okay, Dan. I'll let you go.
Okay. Well, Corey, you couldn't believe that I'm illiterate. See, well, I am, because it all started when I was in elementary school. I had a sister aunt, and a cousin, and a priest were all in the religious, see? And I went to a parochial school, and I couldn't learn. I couldn't learn at all and everything, and they just keep passing me grade to grade to grade. And then a couple sisters, then they woke up when I was in about the fifth grade, then they would send me down to second grade. And then in sixth grade, we had a sister named Mary Paul. Never forget her. And she made people come to class on Saturday. And if they didn't come on class on Saturday, they would send somebody to their house to get them to come.
Now you, but hey, you're a real smart guy. You're a real sharp fella. Did you overcome a lot of these things in life in terms of reading and all that stuff?
Just in the last few years, reading. Just in the last few years, and then in high school, when I went to high school, I did extremely well for me, and the reason I did that, I had to maintain a certain grade to participate in sports, and I just was blessed that they have certain teachers that knew my disability and everything. Then I was in 2 years in high school. Then they made a what they call special opportunity.
Let me say this. I am going to take a break. My point with this whole thing is, kids after school deserve to have lives that are not burdened by school. The homework component is just wrong. I mean, yeah, you might have to do a little bit here or there, but I know when I was in high school, sometimes I've had 2 hours worth of homework, for crying out loud. That to me is just, that is selling kids the complete wrong idea of valuing their time.
And you're 100% right. And family time is 100%. That's what's wrong with the country now. There's no structure in the
bingo. I will completely agree with you there as we head off to our first break. We'll talk some Steelers after this.
Great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
At Shoopla, they think on their feet so you can walk in comfort and style. When you step into Shoopla, you'll be greeted by a friendly and knowledgeable staff who will assist you in finding the perfect shoe for any occasion. Shoopla believes that every foot problem has a fitting solution, and they will work with you to make sure you don't have to sacrifice style for comfort. For more information or to schedule a professional fitting with one of Shoopla's fit specialists, visit their website, shooflystores.com. Shoopla. Your feet will thank you.
Remember when you used to cruise the boulevard back in the day? Maybe you stopped at JMP Automart to check out their inventory. Well, you know you still can. JMP Automart is still rocking Central PA with the best deals. Check them out online at jmpautomart.com, where you can apply for financing and see their inventory of over 200 units. Or cruise in like you used to 1906 Pleasant Valley Boulevard and see them in person. Got a trade? JMP will give you $1,000 push, pull, or tow. Apply for financing online. JMP Automart, in business for 64 years, so they must be doing something right.
Get to Mattis Motorsports now for CF Moto ATVs and side-by-sides. Mattis Motorsports is also your headquarters for trailers, both open and closed. Campers, brands like Astoria, Gulfstream, Puma, and more. Bad Boy Zero Turn mowers in Lear and ARE truck cabs. Give Mattis Motorsports a call at 814-940-6288. Or check them out in person at 1702 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in the Greenwood section of Altoona. And remember,
if it doesn't say Mattis, you paid too much.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
Whether it's popcorn for a movie or chips for a family picnic, great times and great snacks go hand in hand. Davison Snacks Outlet is your go-to place for snacks. Whether you want crispy, savory, or sweet, everything from small bags to bulk packages and gift baskets too. Davison Snacks has Martin's Chips and Snacks, jerky from Bronco Billy's and Rougarou, All-Star Cotton Candy, Little Debbie Snack Cakes, Boyer Candy, Dots Pretzels, Wise Snacks, and more. Life is better with snacks from Davison Snacks Outlet, 16843 Dunnings Highway, Duncansville. Hank FM.
to our little show brought to you each and every day by J.M. Boswell's Pipes and Cigars, 6481 William Penn Highway in Alexandria. If you're looking for pipes, cigars, tobacco blends, stop on by. Tell them we said hello. We appreciate their support. They'll hook you up if you're heading to a sporting event, hunting, camping, fishing, whatever. J.M. Boswell's Pipes and Cigars. They're open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturday. Plus, they're always open online at boswellpipes.com. Russell Wilson, we're getting into some sports here, by the way. Russell Wilson has come out and said that he is going to play in the Steelers' third and final preseason game Saturday at Detroit. That's a surprise to me because these games mean absolutely nothing. But Russell Wilson missed the first game with a calf injury. He spent the second game getting sacked a bunch because the offensive line was terrible. So if he feels like at 35 years old, he needs to take a couple more series or maybe win over some support of the team or what have you, I guess. But these third preseason games mean absolutely nothing. Here's my question for you. How much trouble do you think the Steelers are in as a franchise over the next handful of years? We talked about this a lot on the Black and Gold Breakdown show yesterday. I brought it up last week as well on this show. So you have a 35-year-old quarterback in Russell Wilson this year who is not under contract for next year. You have a 25-year-old quarterback in Justin Fields this year who is not under contract for next year. You don't know which one of them is going to be any good this year. They both might stink. Maybe one of them will be good. Maybe he can have a nice year. But you have no idea who your quarterback is next year. No idea. You don't really even know who your quarterback's going to be in week six. I'm a huge believer that if you don't have a quarterback, then you don't have a chance. I've said that for years. You've probably heard other people talk about that. When we brought it up last week, somebody said, who's the worst quarterback to win a Super Bowl? Well, that was actually Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning was a terrible quarterback the year that the Broncos won the Super Bowl. His skill set had diminished to people want to bring up Trent Dilfer back in with the Ravens. You know, Ravens had one of the best defenses of all time, if not the best. But Peyton Manning was worse than Trent Dilfer at that stage in his career. So can it be done? Can you win a Super Bowl if you've got some unbelievable defense and your quarterback is only asked to do the absolute minimum? Sure, it could potentially happen. But as a Steelers fan, I'm speaking as a Steelers fan here. I'm asking any of you Steelers fans, give me a time frame on when you think the Steelers, that you'll feel good about, okay? Give me a time frame that you feel confident about, not that you're hoping for, okay? This is the difference in the discussion I'm having. I'm not asking you to hope that the Steelers will be good in 2, 3, 4 years. I'm asking you to give me a time frame that you feel confident that the Steelers organization will have a lot of things going in the right direction. And I'm going to tell you, I don't see it within the next 5 years. Not that I feel confident about. Here's why. It comes down to the quarterback. How many of you have heard me say, I've asked the question before, how many really good NFL quarterbacks are there on this planet? Of the 8 billion people living on this planet right now, how many would you say are good NFL quarterbacks? My number is 15. 18 max. Well, Geiger's 32 teams, yeah, and most of them don't have a really good NFL quarterback. What about all the backups? Yeah, they're not really good NFL quarterbacks. Kenny Pickett, for God's sake, is a backup for the Eagles. I would say, in terms of guys on this planet that I would feel pretty confident about, I'd say there's 15 to 18 really good quarterbacks alive, NFL quarterbacks alive right now. What are the Steelers' chances of getting one of those in the next couple of years, be it the draft, free agency, trade, what have you? What are the chances? I'd say, especially starting with the draft, not real good. Well, Kenny Pickett was a first-round quarterback. He sucks beyond belief. He's absolutely terrible. There are a lot of quarterback draft picks over time that the job is so hard, man. The job is so unbelievably difficult that it doesn't matter how good of a pedigree you've got. It doesn't matter how good you were in college. It doesn't matter if you're considered the next coming of anybody. The quarterback position in the NFL is so incredibly difficult. And then the league places so much extra pressure on young quarterbacks during this era. Guys are expected to start right away. Bo Nix is going to start for the Denver Broncos as a rookie. I hope he does well. Justin Fields started early on for the Bears. He didn't do well. My point is, I'm asking you, what kind of time frame is it that you feel confident that the Steelers will have a good quarterback situation that you don't have to worry about? And I'm telling you, that's as much of a crapshoot as anything that I can ask you. Russell Wilson's 35. Maybe he'll be good this year. Maybe he'll get hurt in week 3. Maybe Justin Fields can develop into a better player than he was with the Bears. Maybe Justin Fields is god-awful. We don't know. Let's say the Steelers have to draft a quarterback next year or in 2 years. Well, unless they bottom out, which they don't seem to do, if you bottom out and you go 4-13 and you pick in the top 5, maybe you get an elite-level college quarterback, somebody that people say is a can't-miss guy, but I don't believe there's such things as can't-miss guys. Steelers probably picking 15th, 17th, 19th, 20th in perpetuity. You're going to get a surefire, can't-miss NFL quarterback at those spots? Maybe you could, but the chances of it are so slim. Most draft picks, most quarterbacks who are drafted really don't amount to a whole heck of a lot. So if you take a look at where the Steelers are right now, they are in this weird netherworld of you're trying to just hang on with somebody grasping at straws with Russell Wilson. And hey, look, maybe Justin Fields has a much better upside long term. He's 10 years younger, but Russell Wilson's going to be the starter. But if I ask you, how confident are you that the Steelers are going to have a good quarterback in the next 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years? Mathematically speaking, there's a far greater chance that they won't than that they will. 946-0435. If you're a Steelers fan out there, we took some calls on our Black and Gold Breakdown show, had some good discussion about this yesterday. If you're a Steelers fan out there, that's my question for you. How confident are you that in the next 2, 3, 5 years, the Steelers will have a really good NFL quarterback? Hopefully we'll take some of your calls after this.
Eric Jones is on, and whether they like it or not, the lower series of racing are watching the top guys in the Cup Series and seeing what's okay and where the line is.
You know, whether we like it or not, it is a trickle-down effect. What we do on Sundays trickles down not just to Xfinity and trucks and ARCA. It trickles down to late models, street stocks, front-wheel drives, quarter midgets, go-karts, right? I mean, all these guys and kids watch what we do on Sunday and think what is, you know, what we do is right, right? And so I think racing has changed a lot. 2009 was the first year I raced a full-size car, and I can vividly remember my dad and I talking about, look, just this year's about earning respect. Like, do not be out there running into people. It's just not what we're doing. You know, I mean, you got to give these guys respect, earn their respect. And then, you know, when we get to that point, we'll go race. And that's how we did things. And, you know, things have changed a lot. Racing has got way more aggressive for a lot of different reasons. you know, cars, and it's hard to pass and everything else, but have seen it. I was watching the cars race last night at Ace, and those guys could barely go more than 10 laps without a yellow coming out. Somebody's spinning somebody, somebody's wrecking somebody. It's not what I enjoy in racing. I mean, some bumping and banging is fine. I don't have a problem with that.
This is the final lap.
Progressive presents good news, bad news, dumb news, then great news. Good news. A letter in your mailbox says you could save money bundling your home and auto insurance with Progressive. Bad news. You saw it after your teenager backed the car into the mailbox. Dumb news. A new mailbox, basically a box on a stick, costs up to $400. Great news. You decide to see if you could save money bundling at Progressive.com and go with paperless mail instead. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Hi, welcome to Staples.
Yeah, my daughter needs a laptop for college, but I need to watch the budget.
Well, Staples hot deals on tech are backed by a price match guarantee, so our prices won't be beat.
Great. I can't believe my baby's starting college.
She'll do great.
I know.
Oh, let's get you a great deal on a laptop.
Save big on tech for school at Staples. Now get up to $300 off select PCs. Ends 8/24, price match guarantee valid within 14 days of purchase. Exclusions apply. For details, visit staples.com/price match.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 3-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell Pipe.
Hi, welcome back. 946-0435. Again, talking some Steelers. Russell Wilson says he is going to play in the final preseason game Saturday at Detroit. Interesting take by, I think the analyst was Ryan Tannenbaum on ESPN today. So listen to this. This was interesting. So the Minnesota Vikings, they lost J.J. McCarthy, their draft pick quarterback, to a season-ending knee injury, right? So Sam Darnold is going to be the backup for the Vikings, and Tannenbaum suggested that the Vikings make a trade and bring in Russell Wilson. Now, that's very, very interesting, okay? And this was his line of thinking. He's saying that the Steelers could be better off doing this. Trade Russell Wilson to the Vikings where he can be the backup. Sam Darnold is the starter. And then Russell Wilson could maybe even beat out Sam Darnold. In fact, I think Tannenbaum said Russell Wilson's better than Sam Darnold. But either way, if you're the Steelers, you trade Russell Wilson to the Vikings. You start initially Justin Fields, and then you sign Ryan Tannehill out of retirement. Very, very interesting concept brought up. Ryan Tannehill's 36 years old. He played played for Arthur Smith with the Titans. They did a lot of good things. And as the ESPN analyst was saying, hey, Tannehill knows the Arthur Smith offense. So the thinking goes like this. Trade Russell Wilson. Find out what you've got in Justin Fields one way or another. Just find out. Because, again, neither Wilson nor Fields is under contract for next year. Find out what you've got in Justin Fields. And also bring in Ryan Tannehill as the backup just in case. Now, look, even at 36, you know, Tannehill could end up being better than Justin Fields. Now, Tannehill wasn't good last year. I think he got hurt. Will Levis is the starter down there. Tannehill, 4 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. Completed 65% of his passes for 1,600 yards. So, anyway, that was an interesting theory. No, I wouldn't expect the Steelers to do this. At this point, you're going with either Russell Wilson or Justin Fields, and I fully expect it to be Russell Wilson. But the concept of, hey, if you're the Vikings, see if you can make a trade for Russell Wilson. Steelers then turn to Justin Fields, and maybe you find lightning in a bottle. Everything I was discussing in the last segment about how if you don't have a quarterback, you don't have a chance. Well, maybe they do have a quarterback in Justin Fields. Are we going to be able to find out with him playing behind Russell Wilson? No. He's 25 years old. Could Justin Fields actually be the future, at least the immediate future, for the next few years for the Steelers? Maybe, but we're not going to find out if he's on the bench because Russell Wilson is playing. So, again, this ESPN analyst concept was trade Russell Wilson. The Vikings could probably give you a draft pick or two for him. You turn to Justin Fields, you go get Ryan Tannehill. And then maybe your quarterback situation. Hey, look, I'm not saying I love that idea. It was intriguing. I'd not necessarily thought of that. I would not mind. Who do I think is better right now, Russell Wilson or Justin Fields? I think it's Russell Wilson. But probably maybe only slightly better. And if it's a close enough call, why not go with the 25-year-old who... Again, it's still – remember Geno Smith? Geno Smith bounced around the NFL for a long time, first with the Jets, and never quite figured it out. Well, then Geno Smith did figure it out. Up in Seattle, having a pretty nice run as a starting quarterback up there. He's 33 years old. I mean, Geno Smith was left forgotten for a long, long time. And then he turned himself – last year, Geno Smith – at 32 years old, 3,600 yards, 20 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. I mean, and it took a long time for that Geno Smith to develop in his careers with the Jets, the Giants, the Chargers, and then finally, oh, man. This is what I'm talking about. In 2015, Geno Smith played one game for the Jets. In 2016, he played 2 games for the Jets. In 2017, he played 2 games for the Giants. In 2018, he played 5 games for the Chargers, but only threw 4 passes, so that must have all been mop-up. In 2020, he played 1 game for the Seahawks. So in a 5-year span, he played 11 games in the NFL. That's insane. That's insane. And then he played 4 games in 2021 for the Seahawks, became their starter in 22. Could something like that happen to Justin Fields? Could Justin Fields emerge as a guy, you know, in his late 20s? Well, he's not going to emerge if he's sitting on the bench behind Russell Wilson.
Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast. Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls. Rose Pacific Coast.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell Pipe.
Got Medicaid or are you uninsured? Do you need a doctor? We love to care at Gloria Gates Care, and we're now accepting new members. At Gloria Gates Care, we've got all your needs in one place, and we welcome you to come join us while we help you to receive the quality care you deserve. At Gloria Gates Care, we're redefining healthcare. For office hours and more information, call 814-300-7777. Gloria Gates Care, 2525 9th Avenue, Suite B, Altoona. Online at GloriaGatesCare.com.
It's a grand slam.
Everyone loves a grand slam, and now you can score one with Kepner's Grandview Meats. Stop in at Kepner's Grandview Meats from now until the end of the curve season and register for the Grandview Grand Slam Contest. If your name is called out during WRTA mornings and a grand slam is hit, you win a $100 gift certificate from Kepner's Grandview Meats, the home of quality meats, hot and cold subs, and more. Stop in and register. No purchase necessary. Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona.
Texting enrolls you in recurring automated marketing text messages. Consent are required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
The team's looking good this season.
I think so. Man, I miss playing football. Being young with unlimited energy to burn ever since I turned 40. I just can't find that fire I used to have.
Think it could be lower testosterone?
What do you mean?
All guys lose their edge when they turn 40. The body has less testosterone. That's why I take Nugenix Total T.
I've heard about Nugenix. That really works?
Since I started taking Nugenix, I'm lifting like when we played for Coach Carter. I feel more energized at work. It's even spiced up things between me and the missus.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try?
Yep, send a text. It's that easy.
Text AREA to 424-424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T. It's the number one selling testosterone boosting brand at GNC and Walmart. Do it now and they'll also send you a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, their newest, most powerful fat burner ever, absolutely free. Text AREA to 424-224. That's AREA to 424-224.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hank FM.
All right, welcome back to the show, 946-0435. If you want to join me, anything that's on your mind in the world of sports, we were talking some Steelers and Russell Wilson and Justin Fields, what to do. We got Tim in Altoona. What's up, Tim? How you doing, pal?
Hey, this is Jack. Actually, this is Jim from Altoona.
Oh, Jim, okay.
Yesterday.
All right, yeah, what's up?
Yeah, you some quarterbacks out there. What about Brady? You know, Steelers fans hate him.
Brady.
That might be an option.
You mean
Brady?
You know,
Tom Brady.
I'm going to say Tom's probably actually done at this point. He's heading to the TV booth. He's going to be making, I think, $30 million a year. He's 47. Would Tom Brady be better than Russell Wilson and Justin Fields right now? Probably. But, hey, the Steelers got a lot of problems on their offensive line. I'd see Brady getting hit and getting hurt back there.
Yeah. And we also lost that Herbert for the season.
Herbig, yeah.
For his rotator cup.
Yeah.
I mean, why are they shifting all these people around in the offensive line for? I don't understand.
All right, so that's a good question, and I know we talked about that a little bit yesterday on the Black and Gold Breakdown.
Right.
At this stage, and I mentioned this yesterday, the preseason is about trial and error. You're just trying to find out various guys. You know, you're trying to find out who can do what. Mike Tomlin doesn't care that they're losing these games. He's trying to mix and match pieces on the line, see what guys can do in various spots. So, you know, hey, it stands to reason that in the preseason games, if you're mixing and matching guys, that it could get kind of ugly, that it might look kind of bad. And it has looked bad. You would hope, knock on wood, you hope, cross your fingers, that they do have a plan in place for when the real games start here in a couple weeks. Of what they're going to do, that they're not just going to still be trying to mix and match people, that they've got a firm plan in place then, because, man, if they don't, they're going to be in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, it seems like every year we always start out late. We never start out fast. We always start out slow.
Yeah.
It takes 4 or 5 games to get hurt.
Who would you rather see at quarterback? Russell Wilson, who's 35 and who might be better than Justin Fields right now, or Justin Fields, who's 25, and, hey, maybe you catch lightning in a bottle with him?
Well, I watched him last week, and like they were saying, you know, he's missed a lot of some of his throws, but he's not afraid to run it. And I've been saying for years, we need somebody that ain't afraid to run the ball when they have to.
Right.
And even Ben, you know, later in his later years, he didn't run as much as we would have liked him to. But these days, the quarterback's got to be able to move. And we're going to be stuck in the old ages forever.
You know, and that's the issue here with Russell Wilson at 35. What are you going to get from him at this stage in his career as opposed to obviously what Russell Wilson was during his prime, an elite quarterback who could win you a Super Bowl? At this stage in his career, is he going to be able to run? Justin Fields, you know, can run. He had 1,100 yards rushing a couple years ago. Can Russell Wilson take off and run when you need to?
I would rather see maybe Fields start and give him a game, maybe a game and a half. And if he ain't doing any good, then maybe put Wilson in.
All right. Good stuff, Jim. Appreciate the call, man. 946-0435. When the Steelers hired Arthur Smith, I reached out to my buddy Luke Hetrick, who covered Arthur Smith when he was the head coach for the Atlanta Falcons. And so if you want to know a little bit more about the new offensive coordinator for the Steelers, I'm going to replay some of this good discussion from when the Steelers brought him in. Okay, so the Steelers have hired a new offensive coordinator. His name's Arthur Smith. Was the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons the past few years. My good buddy Luke Hetrick from Hollidaysburg, graduated from St. Francis. Terrific sports broadcasting career. As luck would have it, he covered the Falcons this year for a TV station down in Atlanta all season. Got to know Arthur Smith, so I reached out to my good buddy. Who is Arthur Smith, Luke? What can you tell us about this guy?
Arthur Smith's a guy that loves to design creative plays. He, I think, wants to be cut from the Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, Ben Johnson tree to where you can plug anyone into that system, anyone in, and it's not so much the quarterback or the player that makes it, but it's the play design that it'll always be there. I think that is something that he strived for. He has shown in spurts that he can do that and have success with a variety of different quarterbacks, whether that be Ryan Tannehill, Matt Ryan, or even to an extent, a Marcus Mariota and Desmond Ridder. And that's where I put the emphasis on spurts. But he is a creative offensive mind. He does get a little stubborn, does get a little bogged down in his ways, does have some things that needed to be worked out on the offensive side of the ball to take that next step as a play caller. But this is a guy that is really good at his job, wasn't able to show it for a multitude of reasons in Atlanta. This is a good hire by the Steelers.
Okay. Is he a better offensive coordinator than head coach? Because that's really, you know, the Falcons, 7-10, they're kind of stumbling along. It's tough to be a head coach. How good of a coordinator is he?
He's a good coordinator. He is a good coordinator, and I think you can't be bogged down by what you saw in Atlanta. They had a plan in place to kind of finish this thing out with Matt Ryan over the last couple years. And I think that plan was in place. And then all of a sudden, oh, hey, Arthur Blank steps in and changes everything. And they try and go get Deshaun Watson. We saw how that ended up. They were kind of in no man's land. So they tried to patch it together the last couple years with just marginal play, really subpar play at quarterback the last 2 years. I think you were able to see the play design of what he is able to do, guys that he's able to get open, how he's able to use his personnel, which what you saw this past year in Atlanta from a skill standpoint is eerily similar to what you're going to see in Pittsburgh with this roster. So he is a better coordinator than head coach. You can also point to the fact that a couple years in a row, he had top 5 offenses in Tennessee with Ryan Tannehill, Derrick Henry, and not great production at the wide receiver position. So I think as a head coach, things were trending in the right way. 2023 was just not a good year. I think some flaws in terms of running an organizational structure were shown. I don't think it's one of those things where he can never be a head coach again, but he's going to a situation that's going to be good for him and is going to keep his name kind of bouncing around to where he can be a head coach candidate eventually. But I think this is going to be something where the Steelers may have found a guy that could be there, not just a quick pit stop, but will be there for a few years.
See, that's what's interesting, because I was having a discussion with somebody. He thinks that this is going to be a quick pit stop for a guy, that this is a guy that's using this as a reclamation project, and he can't wait to get out of here. So if he does well in Pittsburgh, how long is Arthur Smith even here?
I think Arthur Smith's a guy that's going to want to be there for at least 3 or 4 years, because this is not going to be a let me take the first job that's available. Because in a lot of ways, he kind of did that with Atlanta, and it was a situation that he walked into, which was the back end of Matt Ryan's career, where they thought he still had some good years left in him, where they were in absolute cap hell, where they made so many bad decisions on contracts with Julio Jones and extending guys. And he was able, with the team for a couple years, that everyone thought, okay, this might be a 4-5-1 team, kept him in the playoff hunt a couple times with bad defenses and everything. So I think this is a situation where you don't just jump, or if you're Arthur Smith, and go take the Panthers job if an impulsive owner like David Tepper fires Dave Canales after 1 year or something like that. This is going to be one where it's going to fit him really well. He's a Southern guy. The Tennessee vibe fit him really well. So who knows if that's a job that comes open down the road. He is from Memphis. His father is the CEO and founder of FedEx. So Tennessee kind of fits him really well. So I don't think he's going to be a guy from a financial standpoint that's just going to want to jump at any opportunity.
Arthur Smith,
he's going to have his work cut out for him.
I probably should have known this. Arthur Smith's dad founded FedEx, so he's like a billionaire.
It's something along those lines. And I don't want to give the wrong title, but he is FedEx money. Yeah, pretty high up in FedEx.
He didn't invent. Post-its, did he?
I don't think so. I don't know what he invented.
you get there. You might be a little too young for that. That's a Romy and Michelle's high school reunion. They went back and said,
you're
so young. You didn't remember Romy and Michelle. All right, so.
Okay. Hey, did you watch? Hold on. You probably already watched the We Are the World doc on Netflix, right?
I have not. Is there a new one?
Yeah, apparently there's one that just came out about the making of the video.
Oh, I love it. I've seen
anyway,
like...
Anyway, let's get you back on topic.
Oh, no, I'd rather talk about the We Are the World video for like an hour. But okay, so... all right, so
which we did talk about the We Are the World video for a while there. All right, that's Lou Ketrick, who covered the Atlanta Falcons and knows Arthur Smith's MO and all that stuff. That's about going to wrap things up for us today. Really good discussion today. Nathan will be back in tomorrow. Nathan, special day tomorrow. Nathan is going to be hosting the show tomorrow. So he's going to be from start to finish kind of leading the show. I'll be here. We'll have some good discussion and everything. But Nathan's going to be in charge tomorrow. So be sure to tune in. Root on the young man. Give us a call with whatever you got. Have a good night, everybody. We'll talk to you then.
Sports Central is an exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM. WKM.